Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armeley.
Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. This is your word, and you really are trying to teach us in this hour. Thank you, Lord, for who you are to us. Would you continue to brood over us this morning, Holy Spirit? We need you. We need clarity. We need to find the old paths again. And Lord, they're not far away. So shine your light bright this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's already been a glorious morning. Amen. We really have been fed in the prophetic word. A good word, Sean. You got it written out. Can you send it to me? What you have. Anyway, I'm continuing with Pastor Jay's message, or the series, and it's a good one. So I want to read you two quotes this morning. One is by St. Augustine, and the other one is by A.W. Tozer. This is what St. Augustine had to say, and he was writing about himself. I came to love you late, O beauty so ancient and new. I came to love you late. You were within me and I was outside, where I rushed about wildly searching for you like some monster loose in your beautiful world. You were with me, but I was not with you. You called me, you shouted to me, you wrapped me in your splendor. You sent my blindness reeling. You gave out such a delightful fragrance, and I drew it in and came breathing hard after you. I tasted and it made me hunger and thirst. You touched me and I burned to know your peace. And then this is what Tozer wrote. God is not satisfied until there exists between him and his people a relaxed informality that requires no artificial stimulation. The true friend of God may sit in his presence for long periods in silence. Complete trust needs no words of assurance. Complete trust needs no words of assurance. As I continue this series, my message is going to be on abiding, which is really my life's message. Over many years of preaching, you begin to see what God keeps pouring out of you, and I believe that's what he's placed in my heart. So the message, the scripture that Pastor Jay began with, and it's out of the Message translation. It's just so amazing. I want to read it to you again. Matthew 11:28. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This past week, I had the privilege for 24 hours to be at what we call a peer retreat. I've been going to them for the last 4 years, and it's professional women, pastors, psychologists, teacher of nurses, just different women in different walks of life, but all strong believers. And we get together. And part of this time that we were together, the director of it asked us all to share individually where we were at in our walk right now and what was happening to us. And it was quite amazing to hear from all the different perspectives the struggle that's going on in people, It's amazing when you hear it. The pain, the level of pain that people are living under is profound, to say the least. And as I sat there and I listened, I thought, Lord, there is only one way through this, and it's you. And it's in your presence. It is the only place where we're going to find what we need. And so, you know, Jesus talks about carry his yoke, and that's how we've known this message. But I like this particular translation in the message so much more, because he tells us to walk with him and to watch how he does it. To walk with him all the time and to watch, how do you do this? How did you do this when you were alive, Lord? So Pastor Jay already touched on it, but I was pondering the two things that he said. Hurry is a form of violence to the soul, and we need to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. Boy, that stuck with me, because, you know, even with the lockdowns we had and everything else, there is still such a hurry that we seem to be in. And again, I want to read you a quote from A.W. Tozer. That guy, his readings, I like his readings. I says, boy, you can say it better than I can. Out of The Pursuit of God, a book that he wrote, The Pursuit of God. Our nature hungers for God, even when it broke with him long ago. So let me ask you, where are you at in your relationship with God? Has it broken? Now, he's writing this as a strong believer. Perhaps the more intensely, the longer ago it was. It experiences a sort of famine, but the devil rides it and spurs it on to distract it from its own need. Okay, so the devil, you know, rides this thing. He changes its hunger into haste. That is why today people are in such a hurry. Their speed is to distract their hunger. Their speed is to distract their hunger. He keeps us busy, running here, running there, running everywhere, or busy in our homes, however busy it is, so we won't pursue hunger. That's a pretty profound thought, isn't it? So more than ever, we need the unforced rhythms of grace. What was the foundation of Jesus' life that allowed him to walk out of such a place of incredible rest? I think we already know it was abiding, living out of the secret place. Pastor Jay spoke last week that we were created in his image and likeness, Genesis 1:26. Men and women were to resemble him and bring his image into his creation. Christ is the image of the Father, and the first Adam was a type of the figure of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. That last Adam now lives inside of us. Through salvation, we become those brand new creations in Christ. We're to carry this into the world wherever we go, and we know this. But I believe it's like God is trying to turn something in this hour inside of us. So having been created, no cremation, in the image and likeness of Jesus, he's inviting us to walk the same way. 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as he did. Ephesians 5:1-2, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. If there's one thing we need in the body of Christ in this hour, it's his peace and rest. He extended his grace to help us do that. Now, you know, it's easy to think that Jesus was born into a very peaceful world. But on the contrary, he was born into a world that was in great turmoil and with a government and a religious system over the Jewish people that kept them in bondage and pain. Yet Jesus begins to reveal that there's a way to walk that will bring them rest. He reveals his Father's kingdom to them. He began to take back what was held captive. And he did it by walking in a place of peace and rest and embracing those that were held captive. I love the story that you shared about what happened in South Africa. As you worshiped in that courtyard, in imprisonment, yet free. Paul and Silas, in imprisonment, yet free. Jesus and the culture around them was imprisoned to the Roman Empire, yet they were free. He walked it out for them, before them, because he knew after he left, they would have to continue walking that out. And so he filled them with the Holy Spirit. Well, we have that. We're filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can walk it out. Look what it says about Jesus. And many years ago, I began to just look at the scriptures of what it said about him. Mark 1:35-36. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 4:24-44. At daybreak, Jesus went to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I came. Mark 6:30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. Jesus knew the importance of getting filled up before you minister, getting filled up before you go out to minister, wherever that is. It was talked about already. Luke 5:15-16. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. The wilderness is a solitary place, can be lonely, desolate, uninhabited, deserted place. But he went looking. He had places where he went just to be by himself, to be with the Father. This was a pattern, I believe, was established in Jesus' life at a very, very young age. You know, it talks about him going into the temple at the age of 12 and talking about his Father's kingdom. How can he do that unless he's communing with his Father? Then there's a silence, but it's for 30 years, but it says he grew in wisdom and stature. I believe he was communing constantly with his Father, the same way that he's doing here. This was a pattern established in his life. This didn't start when he was 30 years old. He knew what he needed to do every morning or in the middle of the night whenever he went and when he needed to pull away to be refreshed. The evidence is there, and I can't go into it because I don't have time, but Pastor Jay touched on it, the way he responded in the wilderness. He'd been there for 40 days, He was there communing with the Father. He was there being built up. So by the time the devil came, he was well built up. We need to do the same thing. Do you know what I noticed? I had an opportunity to share too, and I was asked, what kind of things are you preaching on at your church? I said, we're preaching the gospel. We're preaching the word. We're building up people, encouraging them. We're not talking about government. We're not talking about rules. We're preaching the word. Preaching the word, that's the only thing that's going to build people up. I heard confusion. I heard pain. I heard hopelessness. You know, I have my own struggles going on at times. But you know, when my struggle becomes the greatest, I'm going to be honest with you here. When I hear all the stuff on this side, or I hear all the stuff on this side, and I have people tell me, this movement needs a strong leader. You need to get in there. You need to get going, Pastor Gary. I said, no, I don't. God's not called me to do that. God's called me to preach the gospel. And you know, I'm going to be gut-wrenchingly honest. It causes such an inner turmoil inside of me. Because when I was younger, I was radical, I think, in many ways for the Lord. And if I was younger, I might have been moved upon to do something that today in wisdom, God says, don't do that. Come on. Because I can truly say before you that I have found a place of rest. And in that place of rest, he directs me. He says, preach my truth, because that's the only thing that's going to hold people. It's the only thing in this hour that will hold people and bring them through. It's my truth that will hold them. It's my truth that will set them free. Scripture is full of people who found that secret place. David is our best example. We all know this incredible forerunner, I want to say, of what Jesus would do. Psalm 27, 5 and 6, for in the time of trouble, he said, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. David knew that it was in that place of worship, in that place of being in the Lord's presence, that he would be hidden. There is a secret place with the Lord. It's not a foolish thing that's just in the scriptures and we can't attain it. It's there for us. David knew that that's where he had to run, and he did it many times. I remember when I was starting my courses at Whitehorse, and Mama Dorn taught on the tabernacle. And in one of her teachings, she made this statement. She said, David knew how to get into the glory as an Old Testament figure. And he would hide in the glory. And physically, they couldn't find him. I mean, Saul hunted him down. Physically, they couldn't find him because the Lord hid him in the strangest of places. I mean, he was instructed to act like an insane person at one point. You know, saliva coming out of his mouth. I mean, that's what spirit is life. David knew what to do because he heard it in the secret place, and he was safe there. It was both a physical place, and then God put him in that secret place. But in the glory, they couldn't find him. And you know, when we get all concerned about where to hide, try hiding in the secret place, inaccessible to the enemy. Psalm 91, 1 and 2, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. And I know during this whole season that has become a key scripture, but it is so very key because that's where we run and that's where we need to live. We need to live from that place. That's what Jesus did. So he was totally, his soul wasn't in turmoil about what the Roman government was doing or what the religious, you know, Pharisees were doing. He addressed them at one point, "Woe you Pharisees, you hypocrites," because of how he was impacting the people and stealing really the heart of the people away from the Father. But he lived out of a place of peace and rest. The Webster's Dictionary, the 1828 edition, great big one sitting on my shelf. Secret, it's an unseen place, it's private, removed from sight, unknown, known to God only. It's a place known to God only. David was being hunted down by Saul, and Jonathan, who he was knit to, said to David, "Hide yourself or abide in the secret place for protection and safety. Again, for the purpose of God to be accomplished, wait, hide, abide in the secret place. Not secret from God, but the protected place set aside by God where the enemy can't find you." So I won't go into the whole story, but basically David went and hid from Saul because Saul was going to kill him. It was both in the natural and in the spiritual that Jonathan was speaking to him. They were covenant brothers. You will find protection in the secret place and you will be protected. Jonathan's soul was knit to David's and he wanted to protect him. He loved him as his own soul. Jonathan needed some time to talk to Saul and reconcile both men to each other. He would ask for David's life, but he waited until morning so Saul's rage could diffuse. Jonathan instructions to David were to wait, to abide, and be protected from Saul. But later we see David going into the secret place often himself. We're living in a time when confusion, pain, hatred, insanity, division, it's all around us. I listened to a teaching on my way to Brantford as I was driving by Bill Johnson. And he talked about the war that we're in between light and dark. But he called it a war of insanity that's been released. That was his term for it. He said it's global at this point. The only way through all of that is living in Jesus. Because we're not called to come under that, church. We're called to live above it. We really are. We're called to soar above this thing and not let it shut us down and destroy us. It's in the secret place that we're instructed by him and he guides us. And we're going to find the answers there that we need. He's the truth, he's the way, and he's the life. And he's calling the church to come into that secret place. The word abide, hang on. Yeah. The word abide means to exist, to continue, to rest, or to dwell, to tarry, to stay for a while, to be firm or immovable, to remain, to wait, be prepared for, to endure, sustain, and to bear up. Interesting words for the word abide, wouldn't you say? Endure means to bear patiently. So we're called to tarry, to stay for a while, to endure, so that we're sustained and we can bear up patiently. And that comes by abiding. Are you still with me? And we're not called, he's calling us to abide in him, not with him, but in him. He's in us and we are in him. It's only abiding that will satisfy our soul. It's only abiding that will satisfy our hunger and our thirst. And it's here we come to understand the depth of love that he has for each one of us, that caused him to go to the cross. Just the fact that he loves us that much, each one of us, he would have done it if there was only you. So our souls need rest, and we need to soar higher above the circumstances. Isaiah 40, 31, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to read that to you out of the Passion Translation. Even young people faint and get exhausted. Athletic ones may stumble and fall. But those who wait for Yahweh's grace will experience divine strength. They will rise up early. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their race without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up. There's a pressure to give up. Her testimony after testimony of pastors giving up. One pastor in Sarnia, of the biggest church in Sarnia, took a stand, and the people in the congregation came against him. And he resigned. Other pastors tried to encourage him not to do that. He said, I can't take it anymore. These are people I pastored. He had received such hatred, he couldn't handle it anymore. He walked away from a church for close to 1,000 people in absolute pain. Is this the body of Christ? I'm saying this because I think we need to recognize the height of what's going on here. We need to, if it's honest, we need to shake it off, because it's not God. The enemy doesn't want us to move forward, and we need to recognize this. This is all-out war. I believe we're on the brink, and I keep saying it because I see it in my spirit. But there is a harvest that has to come in, and he doesn't want it coming in. We're foolish if we don't see with clear eyesight the battle that's going on, and Sean's word about God is going to allow us to see the people we've not seen before, because he wants us to bring them words of life, words of hope, that there's a different way. And that's not having our head stuck you got your head stuck in the sand, Pastor Gary. I've been told that. You got your head stuck. You're in denial. No, I'm not. My eyes are on the King. My eyes are on the King. He's the only one whose eyes I want to look into. If he can't keep me in the middle of this, then he's not God. And we all know he's God. Amen? So learning to enter that secret place, I want to tell you, requires obedience. It says, but when you pray, go into your room. Matthew 6. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who is in the secret place will reward you openly. This is from the Message. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Notice the Father is already waiting for us in the secret place. He's already there. He actually says two times in that scripture that he's in the secret place. That's where we're to go and find the Father. Then Jesus makes it clear as to how we get into that secret place of abiding with him. Shut the door. Pastor Jay touched on this. Shut the door. You are in the presence of the Father instantly. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how broken your soul is. David came out of his depression when he went into the secret place and beheld the Lord, and praise began to pour out of him. That's what happened in the prison. They began to worship God. And what they were under, the heaviness they were under, those young men being held, what they were under, were released into freedom in their souls as they worshiped the Lord. We can see it in Psalm 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? I will yet hope in the Lord, he says, because he goes from being in this place in the presence of the Lord. That's where he begins, but then he ends up here. We may go in on this level in just turmoil about everything around us, or situations with our family or friends. But once we begin to focus on him, and the moment we close the door, we step into his presence. Daddy's already waiting there. That's not, I gotta prime the pump. It's just I step into it and I shut out everything else. I close the door, and I'll tell you, I'm with all of you. That doggone phone, it's a battle. You know, oh, I'll just text this one because I get, okay, I need to do this. I need to do this, right? Hurry, go do it. So it's a battle. It's a battle. Shut it off. Put it away. Nothing's going to fall apart in half hour or an hour. Nothing. Why are you downcast, O my soul? I will yet hope in the Lord. Your secret place is your portal to the throne. Hear me. Your secret place is your portal to the throne, the place where you taste of heaven itself. When you know you are in the immediate presence of your God, your spirit and your soul will often respond with an immediate connection to the Father. Our spirit man comes alive, and we begin to soar above our circumstances. I've had the privilege of having several men in my life as spiritual fathers who modeled for me living out of the secret place. And then I had other people come into my life for a very, very short time. And I can't think of his name now. Stephen, you'll know him. Exodus 2. Stephen Lytle. I mean, he came to my home because Tamara Winslow was in my home. You talk about people who know the secret place. He's sitting there maybe half an hour. We've had short interaction, introducing ourselves. And he begins to talk about his experiences in the secret place and what he has experienced in that place and what he has seen in that place. He gets about halfway through and he stops. And he looks at me and he says, why am I telling you this? I don't really even know you. I said, because I'm so hungry to know more and how to live in that place. I want to know. There's more, much more than we've ever experienced. We're meant to live there. I'm almost done. When you build your life on this incredible blessing of intimacy, you begin to build on the rock and you become immovable, absolutely immovable. Pastor Claude, do you have my page 7? Thank you. I'm thinking, I know I had just a little bit more. It's the foundation. Church, it's time to get the foundation in order. I saw the confusion. We're not going to put this foundation in place by watching YouTube, unless it's solid preaching about the word, about everybody's opinions on everything. That's going to erode our foundation. Come on. It puts us in absolute turmoil inside because we don't know what's right and what's wrong. And so it's like, no, I'm going to focus on you. You know already where all this is, how it's going to unfold, and you want me to soar above it. And you want my soul to be at peace so I can pour into other people's lives. Now, does that mean I haven't had a struggle? I've had a horrible struggle. But I do know where I have to run. And even in the middle of that struggle, that's where I run. I never stop running to that place. We know the scripture, Matthew 7:24. I'm not going to read it because of time, but therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, it says, will be like a house, right, that's been built on the rock. If you will hear and do what I've taught you in the Sermon on the Mount, you will build foundations in your life that will survive the hardest of storms. We're called to not only survive the storms, but to soar above them. An eagle uses a storm to fly higher, but it comes for us through abiding in the secret place. Jesus was letting the people know that when we come to him and do it his way and walk as he walked with the Father, the obedience begins to lift the weariness. Our obedience brings us to a place of rest. His love will keep us and strengthen us as we stay connected. Those who hear the wooing of the Holy Spirit to learn the unforced rhythms of grace by abiding in his presence, will not only enjoy intimacy with the Father on a daily basis, but they will also be equipped to sustain the greatest storms, whether they originate from hell's fury or the world's distractions. So I pray for each one of us that we would find that place in him. That's where we would find our strength. And when that storm begins to come, run into him. Run into him. He's the answer. He's the only answer in this hour. So, Father, I thank you. Thank you for your rest. Thank you for your peace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you direct us and you guide us. I pray for every one of us. If we've never taken the time to step into that place, that, Father, there would be a hunger released. In fact, I release a hunger in this house. I release a hunger. I decree and declare a hunger over your people in this house to begin to hunger and thirst after you and to find that place with you. Lord, I pray their ears would be opened, their eyes would see. And, Father God, that, Father, whatever has been swirling around them would dissipate, and that, Father, they would come above it and they truly would soar with you like the eagle does above the storm. And Father, for this we can only give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. You made the way for us, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at AntiochCanada.ca.